This is the first for me to do a message over Skype. I'm actually feeling a little anxiety about this today, so bear with me. Do you ever feel that way when you're doing something for the first time?
Yeah.
And the snow is really coming down here. What's it like there?
It's coming down.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to be looking at John chapter 1:14 this morning. Okay, Bible. Here's that. And I'd like to ask the question, who is this man Jesus that we celebrate his birth every December? What makes him so unique and so special? Well, there was someone who spent a good bit of time with him who answered that question. In fact, he wrote a whole gospel about that. And that was the Gospel of John. And if you want to turn to John chapter 20, verses 31, he tells you why he wrote this gospel. John chapter 20, verses 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So that's why he wrote this book. He wrote it so we would believe, and we believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that he is the Son of God. In fact, he uses that term like 43 times in his book about he wants us to believe. So I want to just take some time to think about that. That's amazing. He spent 3 years walking with this man. He was a disciple. And in 3 years, he saw everything. And he says, basically, I want you all to believe what I believe. And if anybody would know if he was a phony, if he was real, if he was a real thing, I think it would be John spending that much time with him. But even more amazing is the book of James, where James, I don't know if you knew this, but James is the half-brother of Christ. And he grew up with him. And so if you want to look at that passage, you don't have to, but at the beginning of his book, he says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Any of you in here have brothers and sisters? Okay. What if your brother or sister said, I'm the Lord. I'm the Savior. I'm perfect. What might you say?
Yeah, right.
I'm guessing, some of you are kind of smiling, I'm guessing that you'd be thinking, wait a minute, I grew up with this guy. I know what he's really like, and no, he's not the Lord, he's not God, he's not our Savior. And yet James, his brother, says in the start of the book, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So that's pretty amazing that James is saying, I believe. Even though I grew up with him, I know him inside and out, and I'm a believer. John is saying the same thing. So back to John, anyway. He wrote the book so that we might believe, and he starts with an introduction that basically says, let me tell you who this person is. So that's what we're going to look at this morning. So back to John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning. Does that sound familiar? I agree with that. Does that sound familiar? In the beginning, what does that sound like? Well, if you go back to Genesis 1:1, he says the very same thing, in the beginning. So he's talking about at the beginning of time, in the beginning was the Word. In other words, he's talking about something or someone at this point who's eternal. In the beginning was the Word. He was already there. Now, why does he use this term, the Word? For the Greek audience, he'd be saying he's the ultimate intelligence and reason. He's the controlling reason of the universe. He gives meaning to all things. That's how the Greek readers would hear this. The Jews would hear this as a reference to God. So what he's saying, in the beginning was the Word, This is God Himself, or a revelation from God. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, eternal. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Interesting what he's saying. The Word was with God, meaning he's a separate person. So how do you explain this to your kids? That is, in the Trinity, there are three. All three are separate persons, but there's one God. And they're all God. So if you find a way of explaining that to your kids, let me know. Because I have a hard time even wrapping my brain around that. But he's saying that he was a separate person. He was with God. And he was God. In other words, he's telling us, this man that I walked with for 3 years, he was the second person of the Trinity. He was God Himself. In fact, in verse 18, if you jump down to that, it says, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made Him known. Same thing, he's talking about deity here. He's talking about the fact that He's God. So, He's eternal. He was with God as a separate person, and He is God. That's where John starts his gospel. Verse 3. Let's look at that. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has ever been made. Now he's saying He was creator. Most of the time when we think of who created the world, we think of God the Father. And what John is telling us is God the Son was the creator of the universe. Through Him, all things in the universe came into being because of Him. And verse 4, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So now John is telling us that not only He was eternal, second person of the Trinity, God Himself, the creator of all things, He's now saying that He is life Himself. So in terms of physical life, if he created everything, He had to create life. All of us who are alive, we can only be alive because of Him. Now it's kind of interesting because if you think about evolution, the difficulty with evolution is, how do you explain where life began? It might explain where matter came from, or, you know, where things came from. But how do you explain how life, did that molecule just kind of one day kind of bump together and DNA formed, you know, and life began? I mean, you'd have to believe something like that to say we just believe in spontaneous life that happened. And what he's saying is that Christ is the life principle. Without Him, there is no life. He's the creator of it. So not only is He the creator of physical life, but He's the creator of spiritual life and the creator of eternal life. So in Him is life itself. If we want to have life, if we want to have eternal life, if we want to have abundant life, it only comes through Christ. And then he goes on in verses 4 through 9. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. This is John the Baptist now. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. There's that word again, believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So this light, it says, shines in darkness, but the darkness did not understand it. And so another way of looking at it, he is the spiritual illumination of the world. He's a clear manifestation of God. He is the revelation of God. So here's another way of looking at it. There's some people would say, why, if only God were here in my shoes, what would he do? How would he think about this? How would he handle this relationship? How would he handle these emotions? You know, what would God do? And we have basically the person of Christ who said, let me tell you what that will look like. So if you want to know what God would do in your situation, that's where it's important, I think, to read the Gospels, because we're seeing how God would handle conflict, how God would handle when people reject him, how God would handle when things go well. Here we have a clear manifestation of God. He is the light, and he also is the light for our path. If we want to know how to find God, if we want to know how to live for God, he's the answer. So again, John's trying to explain who this guy is that he walked with us for 3 years. He's eternal, separate person of the Trinity, God himself, creator of all things. He is the life principle, and he's the light for all of us. He'll show us the light. Pretty amazing so far when you think in terms of what John's trying to tell us. So verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. Imagine that. The creator of the universe comes down to earth, walking with all of the people that he made, trying to tell them, I'm the one. I'm God. I'm the creator. I'm life. And they didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. In fact, verses 11 through 13 goes on to say that. He came to that which was his own. Think about the people he made, his own. But his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of husband's will, but born of God. So a lot of people, when he came here, rejected him. A lot of the Jews even rejected him. And yet some of us received him. And when we did, he gave us the privilege, the right to be part of his family. Kind of cool to think about that, that all of us who believe are part of God's family. We're his children. He's going to take care of us. He loves us. He's going to make sure that we're going to get what we need. And then kind of the capstone of all this is verse 14. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I just want to take a little time to think about that. The Word became flesh. He was the Son of God. He became the Son of Man. Let me explain that just a little bit. The term Son of means having characteristics of. Remember in one place of the Gospel he talks about James and John were called the Sons of Thunder? It doesn't mean Mom and Dad were named Thunder. Okay, it wasn't Mr. and Mrs. Thunder. Okay? It means Sons of Thunder means they had the characteristics of being a thunderous person. When he came to earth, he said, I'm the Son of God, meaning I have the characteristics of God. He then later said, I'm the Son of Man. That was his favorite designation. Now, people would be thinking, well, of course you have the characteristics of a man. You're a man. But what he was saying was, you don't understand. I've always been the Son of God. I'm now flesh. I'm now a human being. I'm now a Son of Man. So the Word, who was, is God, decided, I want to become a human being, born of a virgin, become a human being, and live among us. And of course, John got to walk with him for 3 years. That's why he's writing this gospel. And just understand, when we say he was Son of God and Son of Man, he was fully God and fully man. He was both. And yet he wanted to come live with us. Any of you have a fish tank? Anybody in here have a fish tank? Nobody likes to look at fish. Okay. Well, don't Philip Yancey uses an illustration that I really kind of like. He said his fish tank, he has fish in it, and every time he goes to feed them, guess what the fish do? They all swim away. And he's thinking, yeah, I've done this hundreds of times. I come over and I give food to the fish. They all swim away. I clean their water. I take care of them. I do all kinds of good things, and every time they still try to get away from me. What could I do to convince them that I'm really good, that I'm going to take care of them, that I'm the one that keeps them alive? And Philip Yancey realized there's only one thing he could do. I have to become a fish. Of course, he couldn't do that. But that if I could become a fish, I would actually give him the tank and try to explain to them, hey, the guy up there, you know, feeding you and cleaning your water, he's really good. He wants to take care of you. He wants to do good things for you. And that's exactly what God did for us. So this baby that came, that was born in Bethlehem, God said, I want to become one of you so that I can tell you who I really am. And I can tell you how much I love you and what I want to do for you. In fact, I love you so much that I want to die for you so that you can have life and have it eternal and have abundance. That's pretty amazing when you think the Word became flesh. He became one of us. He crawled into the fish tank and became one of us so that we could know Him. We could love Him. We could realize that He would be light for us. He would know the way to God. And the only way that could happen was for Him to become human. And then verse 14 goes on to say, and we have seen His glory. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. He is the glory of God. So, what's he trying to say in these first 14 verses? At Christmas time, we're celebrating a man who came as a baby, became a man who is eternal, the Creator, life-giving, the light of God and the light of the world, a separate person of the Trinity, who is God Himself, who chose to become a man so that we could find God, know God, serve God. I think that's what it all comes down to. We are here to find God, to know God, and to serve God. And Christ was given so that that could happen. So I guess at this time of year, I just hope we can all take some time to think about that, think about what He did for us. He didn't have to do this, but He did it because He loved us. And really, let's celebrate His birth and His life, His death and His resurrection. Let me pray for us. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for what it teaches us about Your Son. I thank You that You sent Him. You sent Him as a baby. He grew to a man who showed us the way, just the light of the world, who told us how we can have life, how we can have it abundantly here on earth, how we can have it eternally with You. Thank You, Father, for that revelation. Thank You for what You did. You didn't have to. Thank You for Your grace and Your truth. And I pray at this time of year we just not only take time to celebrate Your family and friends and the Christmas season, but what it's really about, that as You sent the grace of God, and through Him we can know You. So thank You. And just be with everybody traveling and give them safety as they travel today. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for letting me be a part of this. Thank you for Dwayne for setting us up today. I appreciate it. All right, we have a question. Am I on January 29th? Is that the next time I come? Maybe. anybody know?
She's looking.
Yes.
Okay. January 29th, hopefully the weather will be good and I will actually be there. I hope to see you then.
Thank you.
Thank you.